Let's see here.
Better safe than sorry.
Let me see. It is recording.
Okay.
So here you go. From now on, tiny thing in your pocket.
This is my custom. What I like to do to start class is kind of go back and say, what are the connections that you made from what you gathered last week? Maybe you went back over the notes, or maybe you had access to the PowerPoint and went back and said, let me think more deeply about this stuff. Or maybe just God did something this week. Shannon actually shared something with me that happened this week, that you're making a connection from what you learned to you're applying it somehow in your life. So I'd like two or three people to share that to kind of start us out this morning. Shannon, do you want to share what you shared with me this morning?
I was encouraged by the message last week or whatever, the teaching. It just, even though it was about suffering, you know, there was something about it that in the hope of glory that I was just encouraged by. And just to see all the scriptures and each scripture in the whole chapter that talked about in Christ. So that was really neat to count that and see that.
Awesome. Anybody else would like to share? Okay, well then let's go ahead and jump in. I'll do a review of what we talked about last week, that the book of Colossians was written to the church in Colossae, and this is modern-day Colossae. The purpose of the book, Paul is writing to the Colossians, even though he's never met them personally, and Epaphras was the brother who started the church there. Paul was in close relationship with Epaphras, and Paul was writing because he was concerned about teachings that may have been springing up in the area. And the theologians today call it the Colossian heresy for better reason that it's in the book of Colossians. Here's Colossae right here. Here's Ephesus where Paul did most of his teaching. And there's roads that lead to Colossae and all around this area, the Roman roads that we talked about. There's an image of it. The theme of Colossians, and I'm not sure why that happened, but the sufficiency of Christ. You don't need anything else but Christ in you. This is going to be super important, central. We talked about how Paul only mentions the Holy Spirit directly one time. But it's because for Paul, you know, Christ in you is the Holy Spirit working in your life. The Christ in you, the hope of glory. We talked about an outline. If I were to think about an outline for Colossians, the person of work of Christ, who is he? Paul's ministry in Christ. We're going to hit on parts of that today. Paul's ministry in Christ. That Jesus is the cure. Christ is the cure. The cure is Christ. With Christ and the brotherhood through Christ. Paul talks about being in Christ, of Christ, through Him, by Him, for Him, with Him, in Him. And then we looked at all these Christocentric passages, right? This is just chapter 1. And Colossians 1:15 through 20, powerful. By Him, for Him, all things co Him, through Him. He is the head. He is the firstborn. He is before all things. This flies in the face of some of the things that we're being taught. He is above all things. He is the fullness of God. He is reconciling all things to Himself. Are those who say that He is God reconciling all things to Himself? Yes, we made peace through blood. We are reconciled. does this God? Seeing is that there was a so how understand who you are in Christ, it'll dramatically impact how you live. When you start doubting who you are in Christ, when you start doubting that God loves you, when you start doubting that you have a connection with the Father through the Son, when you start doubting your forgiveness, when you start doubting your ability to access God through prayer, being in the Spirit, taken, twisted. God! Can I show you? He has nothing. He can understand.